Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
You hear that different intro music. That music is from our first hour guest, Pastor Casper McLeod. Folks, welcome to this edition of the Hagman Report. Joe Hagman here, along with John Robertson. In the first hour, we're going to be interviewing Mr. Pastor McLeod in hour one, followed by Craig the Sawman Sawyer in hours two and three. And my father will be joining us for that interview. John's jumping in to do hour one with Pastor Casper. We broadcast each and every weeknight, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time on Global Star Radio Network, live video on YouTube, and live and archive on our website and Blog Talk Radio, and all the podcast apps are there. We're so happy to be here today. We're going to jump right in. John, I'm going to bring you on. Thanks for filling in, or jumping in, actually, and looking forward to this first hour interview.
You know, as am I, and I'm in anticipation, and I'm not really sure what we're going to cover with Pastor Casper. He's got such a versatile mind and a versatile ministry as well. Folks, it's certainly a privilege to be back here so soon. And we arranged this several months ago, Doug, Joe, and myself, with Pastor Casper McLeod.
Yeah, we saw him in Chicago.
Yes, at the Paul Begley Awaken to the Shaken Conference. And Pastor Casper is such an interesting artist, and he's a servant of the Lord, and he's a servant of his fellow man, and he's just got like this gentle spirit and yet this powerful spirit as well. And so to say he's magnetic would be an understatement. So based on the fact, Joe, that I grew up in the Christian music business as well, we thought it'd be fun if Joe and myself take the first hour with Pastor Casper McLeod. Before we bring him on, I just want to remind our listeners and viewers of the time that Pastor Casper began his ministry. We're talking, you know, late 60s, early 70s. It was the explosion of the Jesus movement in Costa Mesa, California. And it was a time when there was a whole generation, really the Vietnam, post-Vietnam generation, lost, you know, culturally lost, morally lost. And Christ had an agenda, for sure. And it came pouring down on the hearts of people like Pastor Casper McLeod, who was gigging all over the UK. You know, he was like a London musician cat, and playing with groups like AC/DC.
And yeah, he was a big time. Listening to his story is, it's fascinating to hear where he came from and what he experienced and what led him to the Lord, because he does have a very compelling story. And we're going to be with him in just a few minutes. Just a quick rundown of some of the important headlines. Folks, go to HagmanReport.com. Bookmark the site. We have every day a number of important stories there. Not only curated news, but news from a number of other sources who write and post the articles on our website, HagmanReport.com. The whole island of Puerto Rico is without power. Puerto Rico is without power. All 3.5 million residents have lost their power. And that's as Hurricane Maria made its way across the island, one of the first hurricanes, especially a major hurricane, Category 3, 4, or 5, to hit Puerto Rico in almost 100 years. And they took a direct hit, and the damage is still being assessed, but the power is out across the region. A quick update into yesterday's Mexican 7.1 earthquake. There are over 248 dead in last count, and I was watching CNN briefly before making my way to the studio, and the reason I bring this up is to remember to keep these people in your prayers. They were digging a school that had collapsed while school was in session, trying to find survivors, and that was a pretty hard thing to watch there on the news. And there's a number of other important stories. Folks, go to HagmanReport.com for those. All right, we have our guest with us. John, I'm going to have you bring him in.
Well, thank you so much, Joe, and it is truly a treat for Joe and I to sit down here this evening on Wednesday, September 20th, and visit with debut guest on the Hagman Report, Pastor Casper McLeod. Pastor McLeod, how are you, sir?
I was delighted to be back with you guys. It was lots of fun being with you in Chicago with Pastor Paul Begley and all.
Oh, indeed it was, brother, and welcome, and make yourself at home. We sometimes like to consider this just sort of sitting around the kitchen table, you know. So I introduced you a little bit before you were joining us, and just mentioned that, you know, that at the time that you began your, well, really your faith journey, and then of course, subsequent to that, your ministry, that it was a very different time, Pastor Casper. It was a time where certainly Christian rock was an oxymoron. The majority, vast majority of the established church, was emphatically against anything to do with rock and roll. And yet, Pastor Casper, there you were in the UK gigging, you know, all over London and all over town with the likes of AC/DC. And why don't I hand it to you and you sort of pick it up from there and just give our listeners and viewers an idea of time and what was going on in your heart and in your mind.
Those were pretty strange days. First, let me clarify. The play in AC/DC, we're just friends, and friends with, we had the same manager for a time. Yeah, I did get to interact with a lot of major artists, still doing that. Most recently, I've been working on some recordings with Tommy James and the Shondells, which has been great fun for me. Tommy got saved back in the 60s, so it's really amazing to me to find some of the guys that, you know, I started out with, all were on the same journey. We all became Christians. But back in those days, it really was, what I recall was thinking, you know, this is what I really wanted in life, and get on a major label on Atlantic for a while. And then I realized people around me, they kind of had this attitude that one day when they leave this world for the next, I'm going to just have their chauffeur drive them into heaven. And it doesn't work that way. So it was a real change for me. I was very fortunate to be befriended by a musician named Phil Keggy, and it was actually Phil that led me to Christ. So he was kind of one of the founding fathers of the Christian rock music thing. There really was a lot of opposition in those days. I think now it's kind of gone the other way, and unfortunately we've got a lot of churches that are just putting on a show, a lot of smoke and lights, and get the best professional bands out there. They can't draw a crowd, but a lot of times they're just telling people what they want to hear rather than what they need to hear. So
wow, you know, Pastor Casper, you made a couple of excellent points there. Just to touch quickly on Phil Keggy. Now, I, again, growing up on the West Coast, Celebration Concerts and Spirit West Coast were, for lack of a better term, the family businesses. You know, my dad was one of the early pioneer concert promoters. And so, as a little kid, it wasn't uncommon, you know, for me to be hanging out in a Caro's or a Denny's at 2 o'clock in the morning with Phil Keggy. Records like The Wind and the Wheat, I mean, those, I would say, changed music to a degree, and I would also argue that Phil Keggy is one of the finest guitar players alive. But I don't want to get too deep into other music, but I'd like to talk a little bit about yours. Now, I listen to a lot of your stuff today, and our listeners and viewers can check out Pastor Casper's music at CasperMcLeodMusic.com. And Pastor Casper, I like the way you set it up so that people can listen to the different tracks before they choose to add them to their collection. And also, you priced everything, you know, very reasonable. I mean, for a couple bucks, you can have a lot of fun at CasperMcLeodMusic.com. But, you know, in looking at your music, Pastor Casper, first I was drawn to Anthology, 1988-2016. And there's such an interesting, you know, I think Christian music so often gets couched in this sort of, well, it's 5 years behind the times, it's just secular music with some Jesus lyrics. And Pastor Casper, one of the things that really appealed to me about what you're doing is the vast verisimilitude in your work. You take a song like Simple Gifts, you know, it's like this instrumental mindscape. But then you have Mind of Christ. And I wanted to ask you, were you inspired by 1 Corinthians 2:16 for Mind of Christ?
Oh, absolutely. I think everything that I've been writing for many years has been inspired by the Word of God. But obviously, yeah, it says to put on the mind of Christ. You know, who's got the mind of Christ that we can use it? We've got the mind of Christ, and yet it seems like a lot of people aren't actually accessing that. So you got to get in the Word of God, and then the Word of God gets into you.
And let's do that right now, Pastor Casper. 1 Corinthians 2:16, it says, "For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Would you like to extrapolate that a little bit, Pastor Casper, especially with what we're facing these days?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I think there's a lot to that. First of all, I would take us back to 2 Corinthians 10:5, where it tells us that take every thought captive the obedience of Christ, right? Well, obviously, if you're putting on the mind of Christ, you're going to take your thoughts captive. And I don't feel like a lot of teaching's been, you know, surrounded with it. Okay, so first of all, it's basics, right? Greatest commandment of all is to do what? Love God with all your mind, heart, body, mind, spirit, and soul. Love your neighbors as yourself. Well, today with the new Tower of Babel, I mean the internet, we let's let that one go.
Do a little slow on the uptake there, Pastor Casper.
Everyone is, you know, our neighbor now, right? And so that's the, you know, they're going to know we're Christians by our love. Okay, so we might be surprised at how many people don't actually like themselves, which begs the question, what spirit taught you not to like yourself? I mean, I've been dealing in ministry a long time. You know, lots of people in church don't even like themselves. Well, if you don't like yourself, you certainly don't have the mind of Christ, right? So keeping that in mind, pun intended, your heart has got over 40,000 neurons in, so it makes it like a little mini brain in there. So you need to get your words and your thinking to agree together here, because otherwise those thoughts release all these chemicals into your bloodstream, and when they reach your heart, if you're not in agreement with the words that you're speaking, it causes confusion. And you know, God's not the author of confusion, so then your heart's going to send a message back through the chemicals back to your brain that, you know, please inform the body, we can't accomplish this task at the moment because there's no congruency, which is, you know, really vital to understand. I mean, if all the law and all the prophets hang on these two commandments in Matthew 22, then what are we supposed to do about it? I mean, the Lord tells us, you know, you know, what is it, James 2:18? Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, I have works, show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show thee my faith by my works, right? So staying in faith, putting on the mind of Christ, means staying in the Word of God, so the Word of God stays in you. Nudge, say no more. So what are we doing when we're putting on the mind of Christ? We're thinking, meditating. He tells us, right? Think what things that are true, pure, lovely, of a good report, praiseworthy. So your brain's going to convert all these thoughts into a reaction. It's going to release healing molecules and produce health in your mind and your body, your soul and the spirit. I mean, the Lord tells us even, right, Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones, right? So it's vital to understand the importance of framing the situation, putting on the mind of Christ. You look through a grid of our Heavenly Father's covenant with us, his nature, his character, his love. And so actually, this is fascinating. I've studied this a long time. So your kidneys also act like another brain. There's a heart in your brain. I mean, the heart acts like a brain, so and your kidneys act like another brain. So the left kidney assesses the situation. And then based on how that situation is framed by the left kidney, the right kidney comes along and devises a strategy, how we're going to move forward now. So if the left kidney assesses the situation in an ungodly way, in a badly, you know, kind of, things aren't working out, then the right kidney's not able to resolve it, so the kidneys release stress hormones, which obviously would, you know, exasperate problems that you might be already having, which is, you know, like a spirit of fear that comes to torment and tell you how things, you know, all the doom and gloom stuff that's out there. But if we frame it properly, the amazing thing is your kidneys will release a chemical called DHEA, which carries the emotion of joy, and then your heart releases a chemical called ANF, which carries the emotion of peace, which brings healing spiritually, emotionally, physically. I mean, this is fantastic. This is the Word of God. It's absolutely extraordinary. So I think a lot of times people think, you know, thoughts are harmless, but we're supposed to take every thought captive in the mind of Christ, meaning putting on the mind of Christ, right? So why would you just let any thought wander on your mind? I mean, when I travel out of the country, usually in after cop the immigration guys, right? And they always say, may I see your passport? How much money you're bringing in? How long you're planning on staying? Why can't we do that with the thoughts that we have?
It's an excellent point. Pastor Casper, I want to bring Joe in as well. I'll ask you this question and then I'm going to hand it over to him. But your music, as I went through it earlier this afternoon, we brought the show in with Backslider, okay? It's like this big kind of power chord confession where I would suggest that you as the artist, as the singer and songwriter, are attempting in that song Backslider, and it's just so driving, and you're basically laying out your sins and saying, look, I need redemption. I need to get back to that mind of Christ. And I also made a note, just a quick note here, Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 9, and then I'll pass it to you, Casper, and we'll get Joe in here. But Romans chapter 8, verse 9 reads, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. So in your music, I think there's a theme or a thesis in there. I guess it would be a theme. Reactivating that mind of Christ. Pastor?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, Backslider is basically a song about not backsliding. Like, don't do it. I mean, it's easy to backslide, isn't it? I mean, if sin wasn't pleasurable, who would do it?
Right.
I mean, but, you know, God's commandments are not grievous. They're for our benefit. So that song is really about not backsliding, you know, staying on the narrow path of holiness.
Well, Pastor Casper.
Yes.
Sorry to just jump in here. Let me ask you this. What other, give me some examples of some of your other songs that you've written based on biblical teachings and principles.
Well, I think most of them are coming out at the end. I've just got a new album. I don't even think it's listed on CatherineMcLeodMusic.com yet, but it's called Pictures of Jesus, because every song is basically a picture of Jesus. And on there, there's a song called Best Things to Happen. And you see that a lot of people, you know, they're just discouraged. I mean, like a classic example would be the disciples. They see Jesus gets arrested, they're slandering him, lying, they're torturing him, and then they crucify him. And it doesn't get much worse than that, does it? And yet,
right.
3 days later, history changes forever with incredible good news. So I think it's really important that, you know, we put on the mind of Christ here, and that's, you know, and look for the best things to happen, because we serve an almighty God.
Absolutely. And I know that you have your own testimony and your own story about some of the things you experienced getting into the music industry and what led you to the Lord, and you touched on that a little bit in the beginning, Pastor. And I want to ask you this, because when we have met in person, the one story that you told me that really sticks with me is the story about you understanding that the people that kind of control you or dictate, you know, what music you put out and when, wanted to control you via drugs. Can you get into that a little bit, that story? Because I think that's pretty powerful.
Yeah, I think some of the main players are now passed on to their just reward, so I can talk about it. I was recording for Atlantic. It was the early 80s. And, you know, it was a real interesting time, because I was just constantly, interacting in the hallways and meetings and parties with, you know, a lot of major artists today, and the big hair band of the 80s, right? So we were recording, and I was walking down the hallway one day, and at this point I was already starting to really question a lot of things, because I was a baby Christian. I used to call my friend Phil Keggy up from the back of the recording studio, because he was the only Christian I actually knew at the time. I'd call him up and ask him for his advice and prayer and that sort of thing, go out there and start recording. So I'm walking on the hallway one day, and I heard my name mentioned. The door was ajar, and it was my management and a number of record executives in there. And I slowed down. I thought, well, you know, we shouldn't, as believers, we shouldn't be over listening to somebody else's conversation, but since they said my name, I slowed down, and I heard this most incredible statement made. And somebody said to management, well, if you won't take the drugs, how in the world are you going to control them? Well, that was the day I decided I had to get out, because I was seeing, you know, how this really wasn't working out with a lot of people. A lot of people I knew, even like my very good friend Tommy James. I mean, he ended up at Betty Ford Hospital and had to get his life back on track. A lot of the guys were really getting messed up, and I just didn't want to go down that path. So I ended up moving back to UK and decided I was just going to play for the Lord. And kind of a funny moment, as you brought up AC/DC earlier, I was meeting with him. We had some mutual friends, and we all got together for a meal it's with Cliff Williams, the bass player. And so I gave Cliff, I think it was probably the album with Backslider on it that you played. And so he went off after we shared some fellowship and meal together, and he popped it in his car and drove off listening to the record. And he called me up an hour later and he said, dude, you became like the Christian Led Zeppelin or something here. So I thought that was the same
one. Well, Pastor Casper, you did become the Christian Led Zeppelin. And, you know, just before we got the show cooking here this evening, I was thinking about your ministry, and I want to make sure that we touch on the Upper Room Fellowship as well. But it seems to me, with the limited acquaintance that I have with what you're up to, that you are making every attempt to reach the lost where they are, as you just indicated in that story with the bassist from AC/DC. I think a lot of Christians would just blow that, as you said, fellowship, that lunch or that dinner off, and say, I'm not going to associate with him. He plays in AC/DC, you know? But you didn't. You met with him and you gave him, you planted a seed, with your record. And I was thinking about this show, The Hagman Report, and it's nothing that was ever sat around and discussed, but we try to do that as well. Now, we use news analysis and commentary and the guests that we bring on. But one of the cornerstones of this show, similar to your ministry, is really trying to meet the lost where they are. Of course, we do it through people who are interested in or even addicted to the news and current events, etc. Pastor Casper, would you like to kind of elaborate on that a little bit more, reaching the lost where they're at rather than expecting them to come to us?
Absolutely. Interestingly, when I got ordained, and by the way, I didn't ask for this. I was studying day and night because it said Proverbs 4:20-23, you know, if you meditate on the word of God day and night, it bring healing to all your flesh. And I looked it up in Greek and Aramaic and Hebrew, and it means everything. So I was just trusting God for everything at that point in my life. And the church I was attending called me in. I was already a music worship leader for many years at this point, at least 15 years, I think. And they called me and said, God has told us to, you know, to ordain you as a pastor. And so when I got ordained, oddly enough, the senior pastor looked at me and said, now don't go getting a haircut and putting on a coat and tie, because you reach people we can't reach. So I've you know, been out here on the circuit with a number of people that have been on your program, working with staff writer with Ali Mazuli, doing the Hear the Watchman, Prophecy Watchers and all that, get to play and speak. I know there's people that are uncomfortable, walk out, you know, and they go, oh, wait a minute, he looks like he should be playing with Led Zeppelin, right? But it's true, you know, it's like I do end up talking to people that will share things with me, not realizing I'm a pastor at first. And how are you going to reach people and do what Jesus said? I mean, one of the greatest commandments is to do what? It's a commission, right? Go and reach the lost. That's what we're supposed to do. Love God, love people, minister healing and miracles in the almighty name of Jesus. So to be all things to all people. So I find myself in a very unique situation. I can get around a bunch of intellectuals and scholars and interact with them, and I can also go out on the street and meet with all kinds of people from all walks of life and share Christ's love with them. And that's what it's all about, isn't it?
Folks, our guest is Pastor Casper McLeod. And his website, real quick, you have CasperMcLeodMusic.com. You have TheUpperRoomFellowship.org. And, Pastor, you have your own show, Spiritual Encounters with Pastor Casper McLeod. When is your show air, Pastor?
It's a weekly show. It goes on YouTube on Thursday nights.
Okay. It's
about 8 o'clock on Thursday nights, usually.
And if you can, give our audience a little a teaser of what it is you like to get into. I know that the show's named Spiritual Encounters with Pastor Casper McLeod. What do you like to talk about?
Yeah, everything that's, you know, to do with the spiritual encounters. My friend Ali Marzulli is actually the one that got me doing this. We had him, Russ Dizdar's coming on, so we'll talk about, you know, the things that most people don't want to talk about in church, but they should be talking about in church. So we're not going to be, you know, hindered from discussing the importance of what's happening prophetically, UFOs, Nephilim, CERN, all the crazy stuff that's unfolding before us right now. So we've had, you know, some fantastic guests. John has been on the show. We're just waiting for you, Joe, to come on, and your dad.
We'll set that up for sure.
Yeah.
Tell you what, Pastor Casper, let's get that set up sooner than later. I mentioned it to Joe the other day. And again, thank you so much for having me on Spiritual Encounters. And I just want to mention, just be a little bit personal here for a moment. So I did Spiritual Encounters with Pastor Casper McLeod about 10 weeks ago, I'd say it was. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like any other man, I mean, I was going through some struggles, had this huge move coming up, really feeling displaced, and I won't get into detail, but I'd fallen into a little bit of sin. And here I have to do this show on Saturday morning with Pastor Casper McLeod. And it was a great show, and it was one of those shows where I prayed, I repented to the Lord personally before I went on. I was afraid to go on the show if I didn't. But then, Pastor Casper, you may recall, you asked me to pray a salvation prayer, a redemption prayer at the end of the show. And I have no problem telling our listeners and viewers right here and right now that as we moved into that spirit, as we moved into that prayer, man, I was having a hard time. I was choking back tears, brother.
I do remember that. And it was the Holy Spirit, because a lot of times I will pray at the end and not ask the guest to do that, but I felt compelled to ask you, and I'm so glad I did. That was a Holy Ghost moment.
Sorry, Joe. Well, Pastor, I'm glad you asked too. It was a spirit-filled moment. Sorry, Joe.
No, Pastor, if we can, kind of switching gears here, let's get into some of the news of the day and what you see taking place. We have the Hagman Daily Show that John and I do 2 to 3 p.m. each day, and we got into an interesting discussion about Bible prophecy and current events and correlations between these events. And we started out our show talking about the number of emails we've been getting dealing with the eclipse and events that have happened since the eclipse and the September 23rd planetary or star alignment.
Yeah.
Can you get into this a little bit? I'd like to hear your thoughts on all this.
Yeah, I'd be happy to share my thoughts on that. I think it's a lot of red herrings are being, you know, presented right now. And I would just like to say right off the bat that for your listeners, ships don't sink because of the water around them. Ships sink because water gets inside them. So I don't want anybody to let the troubles of the world get inside you and sink you down, okay? We're not going to focus on the wind and the waves, but on the living word of God here. So that said, I think I'm going to have a lot to say on the 24th. I'm really excited about getting to speak on the 24th.
I hear you.
In The Economist magazine that was published the 9th of January, 1988, it predicted the world currency would arrive in 2018. Well, you know, that may still happen, but that was the same time when you had that guy that wrote 88 Reasons Why the Rapture is going to Happen in 1988, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lots of wars, rumors of wars, unnatural hurricanes, lying signs and wonders, heart, mind control, artificial intelligence. We're living in unprecedented, absolutely crazy times, like Crazy Eddie, right? Crazy times. And then we got the date setters.
Mm-hmm.
People date setting, you know, I've been at conferences where people are saying, well, I'm not date setting, but then they're saying everything to indicate they are date setting. Well, I remember about a year ago, I was working on a possible project with my friend Anthony Page. And we were talking about some really bizarre stuff that's going on with Nimrod's head on the 23rd of September 2017. So, like, Anthony's been researching a lot, exposing things that are going on with CERN and the D waves. And, you know, D wave, I think a lot of people don't realize the technology right there, like the D wave, the AQC processor model, the 1024, it's got the same processing power equivalent to over 7 billion human brains. That's basically how many human brains there are in existence today. So it's kind of like, oh, let's harness everybody's brain together, right? And we can have this incredible... This is why you got the transhumanists, you know, on there, with a spirit of arrogance saying, nobody get in my way because I am going to become God. And don't you try to stop me from being God, right? So that's what's going on. And in the meantime, you got people that are, my friend, Pastor Carl Gallup, I know you've had him on your program. He's a very good friend. And we were talking about this and we're amazed that the people, because we dared to say, you know, last month, like, hey, we're not in agreement that the rapture is going to take place. I mean, it can happen at any time. God's God. He can do whatever he wants. But from all indications, I don't think it's this Saturday. And a lot of people, you know, that are following this stuff, and it's amazing to me that we haven't seen any of them that are—they're actually even acting hostile. They'll use profanity, but you know, how dare you guys not agree with us? And that's what spirit is that of? But I haven't seen anybody. If they really believe the rapture is going to be this September the 23rd, then how come they haven't sold everything they have? And then would that be the Christian thing to do? I'm so convinced the rapture is going to hear, sell everything you've got, feed the poor, get out there day and night, don't even sleep anymore because, you know, we're coming down to the end. You want to get as many people saved and blessed as possible. But I don't see that happening.
No, I don't either. And it's, I don't know what it is with the date setting, Pastor. It clearly says in Scripture that no man knows the day or the hour.
Yeah.
And we see, you know, all the, and as you said, the rapture stuff, the date setting. And in my experience, from what I read, especially on internet forums where people make predictions a lot, it discredits and gives Christians a bad name when people who claim they're Christians put dates on things, like the rapture will happen on September 23rd. And it's very frustrating. But it's obviously something that's never going to stop, especially with the rise, you know, of the internet and the technology.
I mean, one comment that caught my attention, I did respond to it on social media. Somebody had said, well, you know, I was at this conference where you and LA and Russ Distal were, and this guy over here, you know, convinced us the rapture was going to happen on the 23rd, and he was attacking us because we didn't agree. And he said, we were selling books, you know, and we had book tables, and the other guy that was, you know, doing the, didn't have any books to sell. I'm going, yeah, he didn't have any books to sell, but he monetized all his videos. You got millions of people going down this path. I'm sorry, you know. Mm-hmm. And like even in the Drudge Report, you probably saw the Christian, so-called professing Christian, the numerology. I mean, where does it end? I mean, people, then they fall away because it's like Jesus said, some seed fell on the good, you know, places and grew up strong, and the others fell on the rocky places and sprung up and withered in, you know, the heat. So why waste, you know, hours and hours doing something the Lord said you can't know?
That's a very good question.
Not even the angels in heaven. You know, why are you spending hours and hours doing this? Why aren't you instead doing what he said to do? He said, you know, one of the first things the resurrected Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Messiah, Yeshua, said is cast out demons. That's what he said, the very first thing. Then heal the sick, lay on the sick, and they'll recover. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Bless people, right? I mean, how did so many people get saved in one day? Thousands of 3,000 people in one day. If a powerful demonstration of Christ was enabling, blind eyes opening and seeing, deaf ears hearing. I mean, the Lord said, hey, you know, watch me, and then you're going to do what I, you know, what I'm doing here. I'm going to give you, commission you to do the same thing. He sent out the 12, they came back rejoicing, sent out the 70, and then he sent the rest of us in every preceding generation. So Amen. This is what we're supposed to be doing. And yes, there is a rapture. I do believe, I mean, the word of God says, you know, then we which are alive shall remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, meet the Lord in the air, and so shall ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. It's going to happen. 1 Thessalonians 4, right? This is going to happen. But we can't tell you when. The Lord said, you can tell the weather's changing. How much more should we know the season? I mean, all the prophetic signs are there. I agree with that. But I think I'm more concerned with that. What's really going on behind the scenes, that as you brought up, you know, there's a spirit of fear that's being entertained that God didn't give you. It's projecting itself into people's thoughts and feelings about the future. It's all the doom and gloom guys out there. It's causing you to imagine things going wrong, not working out. And so that poisonous imagination in your mind is going to respond accordingly. It's going to release chemicals and bring negative results to your physical health, your life, your well-being. It's even going to alter your perceptions of reality without the need for witchcraft and manipulation, which is probably, you know, what's behind the whole CERN thing and the Mandela effect. So we got these guys in the shadows working the artificial intelligence, working the D waves, working the quantum mechanics, you know, helping form false memories and all the psyops and psychological wars, where people recall something that didn't actually happen, and other lying signs and wonders and false phenomena that the Lord warned us was going to happen before his appearing. So we are living in unprecedented times. The transhuman, think about it, like 20 years ago, not everybody had a cell phone, right? And how soon did that happen? I mean, it's like now everybody's connected with it. How long? I mean, the guys that are doing the Agenda 2030, I mean, the transhumanist movement behind that, they're wanting to seamlessly merge your brain, to create a seamless interface between the world of machines and your biological circuitry. It's all coming down. And I think from a number of resources, possibly one of the reasons the Iraq war happened was to cover up the fact that they were in there removing Nimrod's remains. So that's a whole other bizarre account that's going on. So what strange times we live in, but how exciting to be here. The time is this.
Well, Pastor Casper, you touched on something a moment ago that really, again, spoke to me personally, and I have a feeling it's going to do so with our listeners and viewers as well. And you and I touched on this. We just barely kissed the surface of this yesterday, but since moving here to Pennsylvania, where the Hagman Studios are, I have had the unfortunate experience of unpacking crate after crate and box after box of preps that I put together in 2011, 2012, and perhaps a bit of 2013, when President Obama was reelected. They were printing money around the clock, and it looked like the world could end any moment. And as I've unpacked these little time capsules, I can see by the things placed in them to a degree where my mind was at that time. Now, you made a very good point, and I want to make a distinction here. And I've seen this a lot in our community, among the many of the people we work with, and I think we're all guilty of it at times. So if you spend an enormous amount of time in the blogosphere reading about all of the just chaotic miasma that is this world, like you said a moment ago, lying signs and wonders, I mean, it's right there in the Word of God. If you spend an inordinate amount of time on that, and then you throw in a Saturday study on witchcraft and the occult, now you trick yourself saying, well, I'm a Christian spy over in the enemy's camp. I'm just picking up what they're up to so I can run back and tell my Christian brethren. Well, pretty soon, Pastor Casper, you've spent 15 minutes with the Lord that week and 60 or 70 hours admiring the handicraft of Satan. And I would like to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, we just thought, you know, Isaiah 4:6, we don't want to perish from lack of knowledge. So God wants us to know what's going on. We should be aware of what's really happening. We should be talking about it, because that's one of the wonderful things about your program, which is what I love about the show you do is you're out there exposing the works of the enemy. And what does that do? It hinders him from advancing, and it advances the kingdom of God. So we do need to know what's going on. But another part of that is when people, every relationship needs to be attended to, right? I mean, if you've got a wife, a husband, you need to spend time together. If you have children, you need to spend time. You know, parents, all the rest of it. All relations, business relations. If you don't work and build up the relationship and the trust, you know, what have you really got there? Not very much, right? So how many people actually spend time reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God? Spend time with God. Spend time with the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit come to teach you all these things, right? And they're multitasking. I mean, if they're spending time with the Lord, well, you know, they're doing a lot of well, why would you multitask when you go before, you have access to boldly come before the throne of God and make your request known? He even knows everything you can ask before you ask it, right? So I think it's absolutely essential. I mean, one of the most powerful weapons we have is to speak out the Word of God, but we have to know the Word of God to speak it out, and that's something we should be doing daily.
Absolutely, we should. And
I mean,
go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, it's like everywhere we look, you know, right now, I mean, even with all the bizarre things that are going behind the scenes, like with the experiments with CERN filling the, you know, basically working on a cosmic jailbreak, and the revelation of 9/18, yeah, they're really pushing this, you know, opening dimensional doorways, gateways, portals, and that's going to change reality overnight. I mean, it's going to be an overnight sensation. However that happens, I'm hoping we'll be caught up together with the Lord before that actually does happen. But we look around today, I mean, people are struggling mentally with things, they're struggling physically, they're struggling emotionally, they need healing from a spirit of depression, OCD, anxiety, they got broken hearts. Jesus came to mend the broken heart. And that's what we need to focus on, is ministering in the Word of God. I mean, the Lord even tells us, right, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's what he wants us doing. I mean, John 14:12 says this, and greater things shall you do in my name. Well, how are we ever going to do anything greater than what Jesus did? None of us can save the world from the sins, right? But if we were all doing what he said to do, I think we'd be seeing a much greater sign of, we'd be seeing a move of healing and miracles and signs and wonders that the Lord would confirm as we go forward in faith. I mean, we go out in faith, and then he meets us and does what we can't do. Because all things are possible with God, meaning we need to do our part. We show up in faith, and he does all the rest. I rather like that arrangement, actually.
No, I understand and absolutely agree. Pastor, I want to take a little bit of a left turn here. What do you see with the division in the American political system? And do you think that this fits into just the overall level of craziness that we're seeing?
I'm shocked. Somebody handed me an article yesterday out of Time magazine, and I was just floored to realize how they're pushing this New Age agenda. It's simply everybody needs Jesus. That's the bottom line. They need a relationship with Jesus, and when you don't have a real relationship with that, then you're susceptible. Again, you know, it says a city with its walls broken down, you know, anything can come in and out, and that's what's happening. So they're susceptible to all these crazy things that are going on in the world. They're not understanding the thought life, right? A city, he has no rule over his own spirit, is like a city that's broken down without walls. Now, I live on a horse farm. You know, if I left the doors open and the windows, I mean, they would come in. There's a great love we have, you know, my horse and all. But they would not act like humans, right? They would just leave a mess anywhere. And so what kind of mess are you leaving in your mind? And that's why we see such a breakdown. And it all starts with a thought. And so we got people that are, you know, just... I mean, Jesus made it clear. He said, you're either for me or you're against me, right? So if you're not for him and you're embracing all the New Age ideas on, you know, this utopian, you know, world without... like the John Lennon song, you know, no more countries, no more religion, no more whatever. Where is that really going to take you? I mean, how many people are actually, if you really talk to them, the bottom line is they've got a broken heart, and so they're disguising it with all kinds of stuff. They're trying to fill up that hole in their heart that's leaking out with all kinds of things, whether it be sex, drugs, you know, music or politics or whatever. I mean, it's all the same. They just need Jesus, and that's the only thing that's going to fix anything.
Yeah, it is. I just, with the political divide we see in this country, it almost seems like, with these natural disasters, it's the perfect storm, because I do believe that the political divide is going to get worse. But also the divide in our country, to me, what you just laid out is how I think is that the spiritual issues are manifesting in physical ways with many people, even people who don't believe in God. And we're seeing people being wholly turned over to that antichrist type spirit. And then you see the hyper emotionalism and all the, you know, crazy thoughts. And something we talked about on our show earlier that you mentioned, I read somebody summed this up from a biblical passage, but it said, don't give, and what you said about keeping your thoughts captive, the thing I read talked about how when we think about something and pay it attention, that we give it power, whether it's good or bad, and that by our giving something attention, it we lose some of our own power and play it and give it to what we're paying attention to and pointing out. And I think that is, you know, back to what you said about keeping your thoughts captive. It's so important, and people can train their mind to do this. It's just something that, like anything else, takes work to do. And mm-hmm. It is so important in today's day and age. And I said all that to say this, the spirit of fear that we see, that wouldn't be there if people were walking in their spiritual walk correctly. But yet we still see it. We still see the date setting. We still see the uncertainty. But if everybody wasn't doing their spiritual walk faithfully, it wouldn't matter when the rapture was, or when you know, somebody said it's going to be the end of the world, or whatever the scenario is. We would already be set and ready for it and not worrying about it at all. And you already spoke to this, Pastor, but what are some things people can do to help train themselves to become better in their walk with the Lord?
Well, I'm actually amazed as a pastor to realize that most people that are professing Christians that I meet, they haven't actually read the Bible. They read books about the Bible, but they haven't actually read the Bible. They haven't actually studied to show themselves approved. So that's a really, you know, important part, to start knowing the Word of God and not conforming to this world, putting on the mind of Christ. I mean, even if you didn't have a Bible, like if you're in China or some place where you've been oppressed, I mean, you can still connect with the Lord. I mean, and you think about the other side of this with quantum computers now tapping into unimaginable vast fabrics of our reality, trying to advance the New World Order. And I'm reminded how the Lord Jesus said, except those days be shortened, there should be no flesh saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. So now you got, you know, all these guys in politics, you got all this division, you got people that actually hate these politicians. And there's no reason, you know, why would they do that? They don't even know the person. They don't even know much about them, but they just have this vengeance against them. And I think it comes back down to, you know, like Psalm 14:1, which says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They're corrupt. They've done abominable works. There is none that you know, does good. So even with like all the invasive surveillance, and you guys certainly know about that. I mean, it's been around for years. It's monitoring, you know, employee productivity, sorting out computers. It's even scanning eyes now to see how you're reacting to the adverts. I mean, we don't even know the extent of what they're really able to do with mind control. But if you're covered in the blood of Jesus, from my understanding, then you're covered in the blood of Jesus, and all the technology in the world is not going to have the effect that they hope for on that, because God's going to cover you, just like he did with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? They actually had to go into that fiery furnace, but they went in faith. They weren't going to bow down to false idols, and it changed the course of history. They come out, they're not even smelling like smoke, not a hair is singed, and King Nebuchadnezzar goes, okay, from now on we're serving your God, right? So I think it's just ask the Lord, seek your heart, pray with a focus instead of multitasking when you're trying to, you know, commune with God, communicate with Him. Be fully present when you go before the Lord, and pray in the same way you would want the Lord to focus on you and your needs when you communicate, right? Jeremiah 29:13 says that you seek me and you'll find me when you seek, you know, shall search with all your heart. So give Him all your heart, and He'll turn the most awful situations around, and he's an expert at turning things around, just as He did at the crucifixion. He turned it around, resurrected. So I think that's the thing we need to focus on.
So, Pastor Casper, to reiterate, if I heard you correctly, we, all of us, let's just say the American Christian Church or the Western or Western Christendom, however you want to qualify it, we have a reciprocity issue with the Lord. See, I just heard you say that we want Him to relate to us in this magnificent, divine answer to prayer, blessing, healing, type way, but we want to phone it in with Him.
Well, the Lord Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. And yet, how many people are doing that? Even think about it. After you got saved and God washed you clean from all unrighteousness and forgave every sin you ever committed, then how many sins did you go out and commit after that? I mean, do you go back and say, Lord, you know, I really blew it that time. I need you to forgive. Well, He says, you know, if you confess your sins, then He's just washed you clean from all unrighteousness and forgive all your sins. It's all about a relationship, you know. The devil's all about rituals, and the Lord's about relationships. In fact, it's amazing the way He designed us. And you know, like we've got this thing called neuroplasticity, where we're able to retranscribe our minds, our memories, and that's why He says, you know, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what's good, acceptable, perfect will of God. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. So you got to be careful what you say about yourself, careful what you say about others. And, you know, if you don't like politicians, pray for them. For God's sake, go before the Lord, pray they get saved and have a Saul Tarsus experience, and they turn their life around and get right with the Lord. Because, you know, changing our thinking, putting on the mind of Christ, is going to help us change all the bad habits like grumbling and complaining, fearing the future, how the world's going to be overrun with evil and artificial intelligence and all the rest of it. The whole thing with Nimrod's reconstruction and all that. I mean, but it's going to... the more you hear yourself speaking the truth of God's holy word, the more you're able to use it, the more you truly believe God's word, apply it to your life, because thoughts become words, right? You get a thought, it becomes a word. The words become an action. Your actions become habits, and your habits become your character, which is ultimately going to become, you know, part of your destiny. So that's why, you know, there's great power in words, right? The power of the tongue. And so I applaud you guys for going after it week after week, year after year. You're doing a fantastic job. I think the Lord is just really using you mightily, and I just pray God continues to bless everything on the Hagman Report, all that you're doing for His glory, and people get blessed by your work. In the almighty name of Jesus.
Well, thank you so much, Pastor Casper. We only have about 2 minutes left. Why don't you tell folks anything about your show that you've done recently, some of the guests or anything you got coming up, anything you're working on or want to promote?
Well, I think I'd like people to check out the new album, The Pictures of Jesus. It's my first all-acoustic album. Actually, Trey Smith convinced me to do that, because I'm out there playing without the band the last couple of years and writing all these songs that I can do like that. And I think people would be blessed to give it a listen. I've also got a new book called Unmasking the Future, which I think Derek Gilbert wrote an amazing foreword for. It's got endorsements by course, Ali Mazuli and my friend Russ Berard from the Shroud, written several books on the Shroud. My friend Tommy James wrote something funny. He said, "I think we're not alone now." I thought that was good. "I think we're not alone now anymore." And so my friend Elliot Goldstein from the Rolling Stones wrote a nice endorsement in there. But I just kind of, the main thing on Masking the Future, I think, you know, people come back that have read it and they tell me especially women, if they said, it's taken away the fear factor. I'm not afraid of the future anymore after reading this book. So, well, praise the Lord. That's fantastic. I've got another book and a workbook called What Was I Thinking? That I collaborated with my friend Linda Lang on, and doing a lot of conferences with that and seeing people get restored, get healed in the almighty name of Jesus. So it shows you step by step how to begin the practice to take your thoughts captive, so you too can be an overcomer and more than a conqueror.
Absolutely.
You know, Pastor, it's been such a treat to hang out with you here a little bit. Remember, folks, thoughts become words, words become action, action becomes habit, and habit becomes character. Pastor Casper McLeod, thank you so much. We very much enjoyed your company. And folks, go to CasperMcLeodMusic.com or TheUpperFellowshipRoom.org.
Awesome. We will be right back after these short messages. Don't go anywhere.
Greenovative. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. What Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the G-Mag Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. You need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water, but a bang, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super G-Mag Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available. Anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night, go to greenovative.com. That's greenovative.com. Folks, in these uncertain times, it just makes sense to have a sustainable backup method for accomplishing one of life's most important tasks, and that's preparing food. This is the way to go. There is nothing better than a Minuteman rocket stove from MinutemanStove.com. We all need a way to cook and a method to process water. I mean, think about it. Think about the many things that could happen to you. A Minuteman rocket stove can provide your family or group the perfect solution. It's small, lightweight, wood-burning, and every bit as powerful as a kitchen stove. It's smokeless, fully self-contained for clean storage and transport. Because it's so efficient, it cuts down on your wood gathering and processing chores to a tenth what would be required if cooking the old-fashioned way over an open fire. So don't rely on gas or fuel stoves. Prepare your family, prepare for yourself. Order a Minuteman rocket stove today. It's going to make bad times much better. Folks, MinutemanStove.com, MinutemanStove.com. Need I say more?
You should have a Minuteman, the survival stove in an ammo can.
For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. timberprofits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288. PreciousTimberProfits.com. PreciousTimberProfits.com.